Lake Effect Weekend continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. This weekend marks week 9 of the NFL season, and for football fans in Wisconsin and New England, Sunday night has been starred on the calendar for a long time.
The marquee game of the weekend is a rare matchup between the Packers and the Patriots, and two of the best quarterbacks in football history, the Packers' Aaron Rodgers and the Patriots' Tom Brady. It will be only the third time they've played each other in the regular season, and given their respective ages, it could well be the last time.
It's also a match between a well-regarded coach in Green Bay, Mike McCarthy, and a coach regarded as possibly the greatest and the most controversial football coach of all time, Bill Belichick. It's Belichick who's the subject of a new biography by ESPN.com senior writer Ian O'Connor.
O'Connor also recently wrote a column on how things might have been different had Aaron Rodgers been Belichick's quarterback all these years instead of Tom Brady. We reached him, Ian O'Connor, on the line this week, and he explained what Rodgers would have offered.
Sure, just the mobility, Mitch, and the athleticism and creativity outside the pocket. And those are things that Tom Brady just doesn't give you. I do think Brady is the greatest, not only the greatest quarterback of all time, but I think you can make a case that he's the greatest football player of all time without that mobility and athleticism that Aaron Rodgers gives you. So I think if Belichick had Rodgers as his quarterback, you would see more rollouts and some bootlegs and just some interesting ways to use his tools physically that Brady doesn't possess. I think the biggest question in a fictional Rodgers-Belichick partnership would be, how would Aaron handle Bill's Billness and just his unforgiving and unrelenting way of coaching? And Brady did a great job handling that for 18 years until last year when their relationship sort of unraveled, at least temporarily. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers, I don't know him personally, but just what I've heard and read about him, he seems to be a sensitive sort with a very healthy ego, and that's fine. He deserves that. He's every right to have one. But I think that it'd be very interesting to see him try to deal with Belichick's style of coaching. Now, understand that Belichick would cut Brady in half in a film room in front of the entire team a lot, and with sarcasm and dry wit and just pointing out his mistakes in games. I just don't know how Rodgers would handle that for 16, 17, 18 seasons, or if he would handle it as well as Brady has.
Right. In both the book and in this article, you describe Bill Belichick's relationship with Tom Brady as a transactional one. And I think in the article, you say it was, you know, for these first 18 years or so, a pretty perfect transactional one. What do you mean by transactional relationship?
Well, just that there's no love or affection in that relationship, and there never has been. It's all been about what you can do for me and what I can do for you. And as long as they were winning for each other, their relationship was fine. And I just think that it got derailed last year because 18 years of that, on top of, for Brady anyway, 5 very rough years under Lloyd Carr at the University of Michigan, where he went through hell just to get on the field, and it took him forever to get there. And then once he got there as the first-string quarterback, they recruited somebody to take his place. So Brady, I think after 23 years of a very intense, unrelenting coaching, really buckled under that last year. And then there were a couple of things on top of that, where the Alex Guerrero situation, where Belichick cut team access to Brady's trainer and business partner, and the benching of Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl really angered Brady and many players on that roster. So it's been a partnership without love, without affection. The transformational relationship in that organization has always been Brady and Robert Kraft. That's the bromance. That's where there is love. And so they've needed that because they don't get that from Belichick, neither party. And when they have issues with Bill over the years, they've gone to each other to complain about Bill and those issues. So that's what I mean by transactional in that they've never even gone out to dinner.
Which is amazing to think about in how long they have worked together.
Yeah.
Would you say that the relationship that Brady and Belichick have differs significantly from the relationships that other quarterbacks, the Rodgerses, and have with their coaches?
I think that Belichick is fairly unique in just how demanding he is on a 24/7 basis. So I would say that I wasn't around for Vince Lombardi and Bart Starr, but I have a feeling, and I talked to Bart Starr's wife, Cherry, a few years ago, that Vince was really tough on Bart, and to the extent where, and he would air him out in front of teammates, one time, Bart Starr, he goes home to Cherry, and he's down, and she asks him what the problem is, and he said that Lombardi had really embarrassed him in front of the team. And so she said to Bart, well, listen, you need to go in there and tell him that it's one thing to sort of one-on-one really critique and break down my play in a negative way, but to do it in front of the team is going to impact my leadership of that team. So, and he did. Bart listened to his wife, and he went in and talked to Vince Lombardi, and Lombardi listened and actually did tweak his style, according to Mrs. Starr. I don't think that Brady has ever had that conversation with Belichick. I don't think Belichick would have received that very well either. The McCarthy-Rogers relationship or other relationships around the league, I just don't think maybe rises to the same level as what Brady has had to manage over 18 years.
Would you imagine that if we took this long look at maybe all the transcendent coaches in football, the Vince Lombardis and the Don Shulas and George Halases and I don't know who else, that we would likely find the same kinds of contradictions that show up in Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, So I attended St. Cecilia High School in Englewood, New Jersey, where Vince Lombardi coached. I played on the last football team at that school that won a state playoff game. And so I've always had this long-distance sort of cosmic connection to Lombardi and been a Packers admirer from afar for that reason. But I've interviewed some of Lombardi's high school players at St. Cecilia High School, men in their 80s and 90s, who played football and basketball for him. And they told me, just sort of described him just the way I described Belichick, that he could be just so intense and demanding and even maybe break you down in a certain practice or session, a team meeting. And then later, I know one basketball player, a guy named Mickey Corcoran, who recently passed away. He actually coached Bill Parcells in high school basketball in New Jersey. But he played for Lombardi at St. Cecilia's. And he said that Lombardi was all over him one day, and he was down about it, and he was walking out of the high school gym with his head down, and he walked by Lombardi's office, and Lombardi called him in, and he put his arm around him and basically said, you know, I love you, right? And he built him back up. So I think Bill does that. He just doesn't show it, and I think most fans around the country might be surprised to hear that. But I do think the coaches you mentioned, the benevolent dictator style does apply, and I don't know if that's the exact term to use in describing Belichick, but I think all those men that had to inspire teams and groups of young men to perform at a high level, they had to have that quality or else those players wouldn't have responded to them.
At the end of the day, you would still make the case that he is the best coach of the finest coach of all time?
I think it's close between Belichick and Lombardi, and I think being a Lombardi guy like I am, it's a hard thing. The priests and nuns of St. Cecilia would be very disappointed in me to put Bill a half notch ahead of him. I think it comes down to, I even hate to say this, longevity, because tragically Vince died so young. Had he lived and won a couple of championships in Washington, which he probably would have done, he had already started to turn that program around, maybe we're having an entirely different conversation. But I think Belichick gets a slight nod based on the fact that he's done it in the modern NFL, where the talent is certainly spread around a lot more than it was in Lombardi's day. There's free agency. You have the schedule, the draft, free agency, and the salary cap all designed to prevent you from having a dynasty. They're all designed to take you at the top and drag you back to the middle and elevate you at the bottom towards the middle, if not the top. And he has raged against that since 2001, with 15 division titles. And AFC East dysfunction has contributed to that, but that's not his problem. And five championships and eight Super Bowl appearances. Doing it in this era, I think, makes him number one. I would put Lombardi very closely behind it, too, and Paul Brown at three.
Well, Ian O'Connor, it's a great book, really great to speak with you about it.
Well, it was my pleasure, Mitch. You asked great questions, and thank you for the opportunity.
Ian O'Connor is a senior writer for ESPN.com, and he's the author of the new book, Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. You'll find a link to his column on a hypothetical Aaron Rodgers-Bill Belichick partnership at WUWM.com.